My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Browns Vikings, preseason joint practice number 2. Are the scouts watching our quarterbacks because they had a one drop in Minnesota? Will there, could there be fists flying later on today? God, I hope not. Don't want no joint practice fights. No camp fights.
Some of our Browns fans calling the Vikings coach soft for how yesterday ended.
Well, man, who can answer to that? The voice of the Minnesota Vikings, also midday host on KFAN 100.3 up in Minneapolis. Paul Allen, one of our very favorite guests. I'm not just saying that just because he's joining us. Joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Paul, hello.
Yo, what's going on there, boys?
You are
what's
one
going on this fine Cleveland Thursday.
You are one of the final radio guys I'm nervous to meet. I saw you interviewing, I believe, Diana Russini yesterday, and I said I'm going to go say hi to him when he's done.
Man.
And I got too nervous, and I said, nope, forget it. I ain't going to go say hi to him.
Bro, are you kidding me? You're telling me you were at that joint, and I mean. And you didn't come up and say hello?
On my children, I was nervous.
Paul, he talks about you with the same deference he talks about Baba Booey.
All right, well, I guess there are worse ways to do it. I've been compared to Artie Lang with the way I look. So that's all right. Well, if I see you today, man, let's just give a fist bump or something so we can put a face to a voice. And
yes.
Since I come on here like 10 times a year, 5 times a year, I mean every so often, or at least when I'm in Cleveland.
Paul Allen joining us on the show. Again, the voice of the Vikings, and he's the midday host at KFAN 100.3 up in Minneapolis. Who won the joint practice yesterday, Paul?
If there has to be a winner and a loser, I liked a lot of things I saw with Cleveland. I think there were some certain facets of the joint practice on the field I was watching most closely, where the physicality of your Cleveland Browns, even without the likes of Dalvin Tomlinson and Za'Darius Smith. The physicality of that defense, I ain't breaking news to your audience or anything. It's a very physical bunch. I remember when Shelby Harris played for Denver, and it was one of those under-the-radar type deals, you know, that you just never really heard a lot about, but when you played him, it kind of wrecked the game. And I thought he did some really good things yesterday under the cover of darkness. I guess if you have to have a winner or a loser, I'd go Cleveland on Wednesday.
Do you get nervous about the way these weeks can unfold with, obviously, yesterday there was a lot of spirited trash talk, then maybe some injuries, and then you actually have to play the team in a preseason game? Or do you look at it the way a lot of coaches do look at it, which is it's awesome to see this type of competition?
Well, the most significant injury yesterday was with our receiver, Jordan Addison, and I was right next to that play. And it was a really good play by the corner, and Jordan just came down bad, you know. So therefore, that, you know, to get out of it scot-free injury-wise, that's pretty much an impossibility these days, specifically with this common threat of catastrophe that we seem to be enduring over the last month and a half. But, you know, the key to this, and I had the privilege of sitting down with Kevin O'Connell and Kevin Stefanski after the practice and recording an interview that's going to air in about 45 minutes on my show and Vikings.com at the same time. And, you know, one of the cool things that they shared was the fact that how much dialogue went back and forth between those two about exactly how they want this thing to go. So, I mean, there's going to be trash talking, and minds and bodies are going to get tired, so therefore you're going to get frustrated, and that can lead to chicanery. But I don't really think that's the case, you know, with these two. Now, it might change today, but, you know, watching high-end left tackle Christian Darrisaw learn his trade opposite Myles Garrett, that was phenomenal. I mean, Christian stood him up three times in a row, and then Miles ran around him like two or three times in a row with some nice moves. And, you know, it's the nuance of things like this are what are really appealing to me. And that nuance would be when it was done and the whole thing was done and the teams were about ready to meet and say goodbye, Darrisaw and Garrett embraced, and Miles was talking to him a little bit, you know, probably about some things that maybe he can do better, or you did a great job. And I just love things like that from the joint practices, man.
Paul Allen joining us on the show. So are the Vikings, it's unfortunate what happened to J.J. McCarthy. Are the Vikings interested in other quarterbacks, or is it just like, hey, we're going to go with Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins and that's it?
Great question, and don't sound so excited about it. But I understand where you're coming from, but I think Sam's going to surprise some people this year with Jefferson and Addison when he plays, and Aaron Jones and stuff. But that's a bet to be settled down the road. I would guess yes. You know, it yesterday up until the news came out, and Tuesday when we were leaving, you know, right as we were getting ready to come to your town, you know, that's when the whole thing popped. And you know, the narrative at that stage was, how long is this going to be? Well, now, given they know it's going to be a surgery that leads to a full repair, it's going to be a full year. It, you know, it really comes down to the third quarterback, Jaren Hall, the second-year guy from BYU. Wasn't great last year. Can't say, certainly not speaking for the team, but can't say that they want to make him active every week on the roster and you know, cost another position group a spot. So, you know, that's something through which they're going to have to work. Darnold into Mullins, I felt, was going to be the scenario into the first game of the season in the first place, and that we would have to wait for McCarthy for quite some time, if not the entire season in the first place. That's certainly in no way to disrespect him or diminish the severity of what has transpired. But they may need another one, you know, in case Darnold gets knocked around. I don't know, man.
We're talking to Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, right now on the hotline. Obviously, you're paying probably more attention to the Vikings, but since you were there, might as well ask, what'd you think of Deshaun Watson?
You know, I didn't see much of him. I saw just a little bit, as you saw yesterday when you weren't saying hello to me. They do things on different fields. Now, you know, with these preseason games that I call, in the preseason, I have the privilege of doing radio and TV. So we're in simulcast mode for three games. So, you know, even though it's a rough and tumble joint practice, and you get a chance to see Deshaun and Myles Garrett and some of these really, really nice players, Kevin and Andrew have assembled here, I find myself morphing to the field to memorize the numbers and the body types of the players who are going to be playing on Saturday. So I'm going to watch more of Deshaun today, and next time we chat, you know, maybe I'll have a better report for you.
Wait, I got to ask about this because we have a few broadcasters here and some listening, some that want to get into the business. The familiarizing yourself with body types, I would love to know some of the tactics for somebody who is a world-class voice of an NFL football team like you.
Right on, man. That's a cool question. Well, I'm racetrack raised, so think Thistledown, and my longtime friend Matt Hook, the racetrack announcer there. So, you know, I'm very comfortable using binoculars. In fact, I do my best to call every single play off binoculars. And I'll drop the binoculars when the ball's in the air on a pass, and I'll go to the receiver. But the binoculars get me to the when the ball comes in on a reception, it gets me to sternum high, hip high, waist high, helmet high, things like that. So therefore, I stay on binoculars longer than I think most play-by-play guys, because it just brings me into the verb and adjective and descriptive mode more so than with my naked eye. Now, you know, it's unfortunate in that by calling races for 30, 31 years, and now calling Vikings games for coming into 23, that God blessed me with really good vision for a 58-year-old. And the reason I have really good vision is because I put my eyes through calisthenics for about 30 years, going from high optics of binoculars to small font of programs and or rosters. You know, but still, I'm 58. So therefore, using the binoculars gives me a little bit of an advantage when I'm trying to describe these plays. So that's, you know, when it comes to the body types, it's, you know, with David Njoku, how do you describe that? Now, I mean, like, he's not going to play on Saturday, or I'd be shocked if he does, but that's one that sticks out immediately. I don't need to look at him twice. But when it comes to the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth receivers for the Browns and or the Vikings, I just like to see how they run, see what their gait looks like, you know, see what their body type looks like when they go leaping, and memorize their numbers. I think is a very important facet of the job.
Paul Allen joining us on the show. I had no idea you were 58 years old. I was going to ask you a whole bunch of other questions, but I think your age actually answers it. Paul, 7-10. Okay, that sounded weird. Lyman gave me this look.
What the hell did that mean?
I was going to ask you. So,
all right, 3-2.
I've gone back and listened to a lot of your games, and yeah, I mean, you're bombastic. I love the calls, and I'm like,
wow, that's
man,
crazy, man.
Some of the stuff you say, how do the Vikings just let them say it? And then you say, well, I've been doing games for 23 years. It's like, oh, if you've done them long enough, that means you get the currency to say, yep, within reason, almost whatever you want, it seems.
No, it's not like that. With all due respect, how am I going to put this? When they hired me in 2002, okay, I didn't go to college. I auditioned for the job, and through the grace of God, I won. All right? Now, so that's how I got the job. I auditioned to get to the National Football League, and here we are. So therefore, what you're getting with me is not somebody who traveled around the country stealing other people's styles. What you get with me is somebody who's racetrack raised, has a different vernacular, uses different terminology than everybody else, because I use a lot of it in A, my personal life, and B, my racetrack calls. So, like, you know, back when Adrian Peterson was a rookie in 2007, you know, I had called horse races for about 13 years at that time, and when a horse opens up by five lengths at the top of the stretch at Canterbury Park, and he's loose, he opens up by five. Well, then I'm like, well, what if I take that to the NFL when Adrian scoots up the middle and get guttural with it with an, and he's loose, you know? So things like that just morph together with the professions, and it leads to a different yet authentic and unique vernacular. And I recognize that. But the key, you know, like when you're like, you got a lot of broadcasters around you and, you know, people who want to get into the game and stuff. And you know, when I chat with people who you know, are hoping to ascend, you know, one of the keys I say to them is if you are not unique and unique while being yourself, then it's going to be a tough haul. I mean, you know, because the lines are long and the gigs are hard to find all of a sudden in these jobs, man. And so God wired me in unique nature, and it's authentic and unto me. Now, when it comes to, you know, I don't get paid by the team to call games. So that's part of the deal too, where iHeartRadio and KFAN, you know, they pay me to do the radio show and call the games. The mercenary 1099 that I get from the Vikings, which is terrible these days come tax time, but it's pretty good when the checks roll in, you know, that's to do preseason games and O'Connell interviews and appearances and endorsements and things like that. So I'm not emboldened to them. And quite honestly, outside of God, I'm not emboldened to anybody. And they know that. So therefore, through the authenticity of the way God wired me, they let me be myself because they know my discernment is not going to embarrass the team. And my discernment is not going to get to a point where I'm like, that guy sucks. That guy needs to go. Why are we playing that guy? He's absolutely awful. That's just not going to happen.
Paul, who's the closest in your career that has worn a Vikings uniform that you've wanted to say that guy sucks?
I mean, we've had some bad ones over the years. I'm not going to defer. I'm going to say we had a running back here in like 2005, 2006, and he was pretty good on the field. His name was Ontario Smith, but he would be the answer to the question because he was foolish enough to be at the Minneapolis airport trying to push a prosthetic penis known as a Wizenator through TSA. And then when they pulled it out of his bag, and there are pictures of this, and you see it, and it's weird, and I'm like, my man, you actually tried to push that thing through TSA. That's about as foolish as you can be.
Asked and answered.
So 7-10 last year. 7, Paul Allen joining us, the voice of the Vikings, KFAN 100.3 up in Minneapolis. 7-10 last year. What's the expectation for this year? Are the fans going to be patient as you make the transition from Kirk Cousins, who's gone, to now basically a gap year before you can start to kick the tires on J.J. McCarthy?
I can't speak for the fan base. I mean, our fan base is much like yours, I believe. In that there's a downtrodden nature where they're like, you know, just as what's this curse? You know, you got Ernest Biner and John Elway and Gary Anderson in 98 missing the kick against Atlanta and the 09 NFC title game where we're kicking the bleep out of the anti-Vike Sean Payton and the Saints, and then we lose the game in overtime. So
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Curses don't exist, but I understand from a fan base standpoint the frustration, specifically for the old schoolers. So you know, I do believe that, you know, with Vikings and Browns fans, we're in the same fishbowl, we're just under different rocks. Now, when you look at the Vikings coming into this season, specifically that quarterback spot, Darnold's on a 1-10, 1 year, $10 million. I firmly believe the majority of the pressure here is on Sam Darnold, not the head coach Kevin O'Connell or the players around Sam, because this is a major opportunity for Darnold. He's never played with a Justin Jefferson. He's never had the opportunity to go play action off Aaron Jones with protection from Christian Darrisaw, and then fire to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. Kevin O'Connell is really, really good at coaching offense. He's a wonderful head coach like Kevin Stefanski, and they're both elite offensive minds. But, you know, like last year, we're wheeling through these four quarterbacks, man. Cousins looks like an MVP on Monday night against the Niners, and we beat him. Then he pops the Achilles at Lambeau, and now all of a sudden, you know, we have Josh Dobbs, former Brown, I believe, with that adrenaline trip. But then they asked him to pass, and people were ending up in the hospital. After that, it was a BYU rookie, Jaren Hall. He got hurt, you know, and he's a fifth rounder or whatever, so I don't think they really expected much from him. But then when former Brown Nick Mullins came in, all right, I mean, Nick's not all pro, all right, but he knows how to run an offense. He knows how to get A to B to C to D and follow what the coaches want. So, like, we're at Cincinnati right in front of Christmas, man. We're running up 400-some-odd yards. The offense looks like the O'Connell offense. Players running open. Mullins is throwing players open. But then we had turnover problems with Nick, and they would lose games. But you could see in that snapshot with somebody who knows how to run an offense and knows how to follow these dots of first down divinity, that the offense, this offense can really get up and down the field. I think Darnold should be that. Darnold absolutely should be that guy, hopefully without the turnovers.
I got like 30 seconds. I know you got a show. I got to ask you, does he remind you, O'Connell, does he remind you all of Kevin when he was in Minnesota in the plays and in the offense
well,
at all?
Yes, to a certain extent. I mean, Kevin is so calm. And, you know, in 06, when he was Brad Childress's right-hand man, and I'm waiting in this little room with all these playbooks for Brad Childress to come out of his office to do the X's and O's one-on-one, sometimes I'd have to wait 45 minutes. So I'd sit next to Kevin and watch him multitask Stefanski and do like nine things at one time and do them at an incredibly high level. And that's how we became friends and became as close as we are now. Kevin O'Connell is more excitable than Stefanski, but they're both incredibly cold-blooded. They don't talk about it. It's hard to find. Like, just look at this, all right? When the Browns start playing this year or the Vikings start playing this year, watch the team they're playing and look for players on defense who just came off injury, like they missed one or two games. Like in our Niners game last year, man, Dre Greenlaw, the linebacker, hadn't played for two or three games. O'Connell went at him eight times to start the game just to make sure he can run. So the nuance of the good ones do things like that. And, man, you guys have a good one here, and we have a good one in Minnesota.
Paul, we thank you very much for the time. Enjoy your own show later today, and enjoy your time in Cleveland.
I appreciate you, man. You know, just look for the old guy walking around with the cane. I might bring out my crutches today, and maybe you'll get up the courage to fist bump.
Thank you very much. Paul, take care. Paul Allen was with us, and he was making a comparison between Kevin Stefanski. I asked him to make a comparison between Kevin O'Connell and Kevin Stefanski. This is what Paul had to say.
Yes, to a certain extent. I mean, Kevin O'Connell is more excitable than Stefanski, but they're both incredibly cold-blooded. They don't talk about it. It's hard to find. When the Browns start playing this year or the Vikings start playing this year, watch the team they're playing and look for players on defense who just came off injury, like they missed one or two games. The nuance of the good ones do things like that. And, man, you guys have a good one here, and we have a good one in Minnesota.
I thought for a second he was like, you guys have a good day, and I'll talk to you later.
That's the end of the interview.
He is, if you were a Vikings fan, like, you got to pick up the pieces. I don't care what it is. Losing J.J. McCarthy is a blow because you want to see what he is. It's a new Christmas present. Almost J.J. McCarthy is the same way. I told you this. My dad got me a Bigfoot RC car for Christmas one year. And this is, I was young. I was like 5 years old, maybe. And this thing was awesome. And we were upstairs in the family room. And my dad put batteries in it. Lima, swear to God. I got this thing, turned it on. It had one of those gadget wheels on it, like on the handle. And I started it up, turned it. I did a loop and down the stairs, and it broke. I had it for 5 seconds. It went to pieces down the stairs. My dad just stared at me like, I can't believe you did that. I cannot. And I was in shock. He goes, this thing's broke, Kenny. Like, it's done. And I just I didn't cry. I just stared at him in disbelief, like, I can't believe this happened. And that's, to me, the J.J. McCarthy equivalent. Like, I can't believe, because you don't know, no one really knew. I know Ohio State fans don't like him and didn't think he was going to be very good. Whatever. I didn't know how good he was going to be. I was wondering how he made this ascension. And some people were saying, hey, watch him on third and long.
He was damn clutch.
Throwing guys open.
I'll say he was damn clutch.
Yeah, but we talk about clutch factors and winners all the time. And that's, to me, that you're trying to say things for a guy that you might not think is really good, but you can't explain why you don't think he's really good. Trevor Lawrence was a big-time winner in college football. Trevor Lawrence has struggled in the NFL, no matter who his coach is. He's had a good finish to a season, and that's about it. Because I think when you say a guy's a winner, I think you're afraid to criticize a guy because you have a feeling that he ain't going to work out, but you just can't figure out why. And I think that's what a lot of people said for J.J. McCarthy. Regardless, he's got to pick up the pieces and win. Kevin Stefanski, there was going to be no quarter. Part of the reason I had such a sinking feeling on what would have been November 15th when Deshaun Watson was out for the year, not just because we weren't going to get to see any more Deshaun Watson and I didn't know how he was going to be coming back. It's because I was afraid Kevin Stefanski was going to get fired. I was afraid Andrew Berry was going to get fired at the end of the year. Once they did what they did, I don't know if that gives anybody else any excuse. So Kevin O'Connell's done a good job, but I don't think they're going to give him any quarter there. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we're going to talk about the news yesterday, which the Browns solidifying their defensive future, signing linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah to an extension, reporting the ballpark of 3 years, $39 million, with $25 million guaranteed. Now, JOK was one of the players that spoke at Browns camp yesterday. Here's what he had to say on his extension.
Been a while negotiating, but, man, it feels good. Feels like I'm loved, right? Feels like that, you know, I have an opportunity to respond to, you know, a lot of the different things that's going on in my life and a lot of the different things that have been going on. And it feels good to be, you know, locked into a place and have the place also respect you and give you honor as well.
What would you like me to comment on that, Mitch? Do I have a problem with signing him? No. I'm not happy that good things have happened to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's been a really nice guy.
In Mitch's defense, how much have we talked about the JOK contract?
We have not talked about it today.
We talked about it twice today.
It was overshadowed by the news of the day yesterday, which was Mike Hall being at practice.
Yeah.
That's what got more of the columns.
It did, but we mentioned it twice. I'll mention it again. I'm happy that JOK got a contract. I'm surprised it was, I got to be honest, I think it was a little low. Now you got me going. Oh, sorry.
That's
Mitch.
What I was getting
so
to.
He did not bet on himself, is what you're saying.
I was a little bit surprised.
Why did JOK bet on himself?
That's not what I said. I didn't tell him to
you
go bet on himself.
You think he's only good in a Jim Schwartz defense?
No,
is that what
that's
saying?
Not what I said. Whoa, he's good in the defense's rookie season. Yeah, I'm not going to yell at you. You're not going to get me worked into a shoot. He was good in the defense's rookie season. He was asked to do things he really shouldn't have been doing his second season in the NFL, and he's been great in his third season.
There was never a time when you were concerned about his diet. We're worried that he wasn't getting enough protein.
That's not true.
We did shows on that.
I defended him. That's true. We did take calls about that. We did do the calorie counter. I remember that, the Carmen calorie counter.
I did hear, because Nick
that
Wilson,
was true.
Nick Wilson was absolutely loving the contract yesterday and also talked about his homage to his African heritage. I did hear a segment on that yesterday, and I thought that was interesting.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, we're very happy that he got a contract. There's nothing else to say about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah getting a contract.
We're pumped.
Now, do you want me to say something that's actually controversial? Would you like me to say it?
Yeah, I would. Mitch, would you?
Don't make me say controversial things.
Yeah, I would say controversial, yeah.
Ooh, wow.
No one's asking you to say controversial things.
Mr. Taking Care of Business in there is taking me to business. Next guy to get signed is Jed Wills.
Well.
Next guy, you want an argument over a signing? Jed Wills is the argument. There you go. No, it's way too early.
Did they have the money to sign Jed Wills, Ken?
I don't know. It seems to be falling out of their pockets. In whatever salary cap that the NFL claims to have does not affect them whatsoever.
So I saw this yesterday. There were some people saying, but wait a second. Bill Barnwell and all the Mike Florio said the Deshaun Watson contract was going to hold them back financially. I still think we would be getting to that point probably next year, right? Because I'm expecting Amari Cooper's number to be off the boards. Could Wyatt Teller's number be off the board?
More than likely.
Interesting, I've heard people say Jedrick Wills, but they got to figure something out at left tackle.
Oh, okay. Left tackles don't fall out of trees.
They don't.
We did this with Jack Conklin. Now, they got burned. That's not a great example because they kind of got burned with Jack,
and also,
Jack Conklin because
Conklin's
of the injury.
Conklin's number will be off the boards next year, right? I mean, isn't that the thought?
I believe so. So you will have some money freed up.
So, but that's what I'm saying is they are anticipating those numbers being off. That's how they can do the contracts that they have
done.
Well,
I think if it were going into next year, they'd be $30 million over.
Right.
Of what the number was.
Yes, before we talk about
restructuring. Well, Amari Cooper's going to take a big chunk out of that, and that's the other ones are going to have to. So I'm just pointing out for everybody, you're not going to like hearing this. They are really, really, really rooting for Jed Wills to play decent this year. And there is a big argument because there are people in Cleveland who think that he is the worst offensive lineman they've ever seen. And there are plenty of people outside of Cleveland who think, hey, he's not so bad. He's not Anthony Munoz. He's not Joe Thomas, but he's not as bad as what Cleveland fans make him out to be. That's what's said to me. I did say he has a ceremonial holding call every game. Jim would call that out, too.
Yeah.
You can hear it on the radio, on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football. But I'm just pointing out, it's almost the same scenario as Jack Conklin. They need him to do well because do you want to go into the draft again and get another left tackle? Especially with how – you want to talk about the wide receiver room? They haven't done great with wide receivers. They've actually done much better with offensive linemen. So you kind of go with what you want to know. That's a good argument. But next year, the offensive linemen, a lot of these guys, it is as hit or miss as it's ever been because offenses are different in college football. And there's a totally different setup than what you have in the NFL. And the athletes that you face are better in the NFL. So they're not as ready-made to go out there and play as they used to be back when Joe Thomas first started and other guys had first started. So there's more development that goes on. Well, you might not have time to develop those guys. So because the offensive line draft or the tackle draft might not be as good, do you want to go ahead and just try to take a nice, safe wide receiver that you know is going to be... If he does well, he'll be a headache for you in 3 years, like CeeDee Lamb's going on with Dallas right now, which I'm cheering for, and I hope that CeeDee Lamb just leaves and he stays away and they continue to not find him, and I hope he's not there for week one. But I will tell you this, I think a lot of fans got their eyes on a wide receiver for the first round. Okay, well, you better hope Jed Wills comes back, is healthy, and plays well. And they are going to want to sign him. He's a number 10 overall pick by Andrew Berry. He wants to pay that off. He's done pretty decent with offensive linemen so far. By the way, Mike Hall, the conversation we had about him and whether or not he should practice, Lima said he would have held him out of practice yesterday, correct?
Yes.
You said you wouldn't have had him come to the building.
Yeah, I thought he needed some days away, but I understand. Mary Kay and you both talked about it. It made sense. They have to talk to him. So that would then make sense for him to be in the building.
I would have him in the building. I said that earlier this morning at 7 o'clock. I would have had him in the building. I don't think I would have practiced him yesterday. But then I had to ask myself the question, okay, when is it okay to practice when the NFL is going for any tape and any photo they possibly can? You might end up having to hold him out for a couple of weeks, a month, past the beginning of the first game of the season. When does that stop? I mean, he has the right to show up to work and be paid for it.
Yes.
You don't have to necessarily put him out there on the practice field. That's a sticky wicket for everybody.
I think it was just jarring to those that thought it was a foregone conclusion. He was no longer going to be a Cleveland Brown. And then not only was he a Cleveland Brown, he was there the very next day.
That I didn't think for a second it was a foregone conclusion that he wasn't for reasons that we said on the air. Go back and listen to that, 92.3thefan.com. The rewind function on the free Odyssey app. Go back to 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can watch that clip, 92.3 The Fan on Twitter and Instagram. Keith posted it. Andy posted it. It's fantastic. Our bosses. The emerging podcast scene, 10:15 Eastern, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Folks, have a wonderful day. Listen to us live in about 20 minutes on the Fan Extra on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!